In the week coming up to Christmas, I met two young men. By that I mean probably in their 30s. And one of them I met unexpectedly, and the other was a prearranged meeting. The one that I met unexpectedly told me that I asked me, did I know him? And I said, I know your face, but I really can't put a name to you. And he then announced that he had been in the same primary school class as one of my boys. So I hadn't really seen him for many, many years. But we chatted together. I asked him what he was doing. He asked me what my family were doing. And just before he left, he turned and he said to me, "You know, I'm an atheist." Now, what does a Presbyterian minister say to somebody who says, "I'm an atheist"? Well, I just simply said, "Well, in my experience of life, I have met very few atheists on their deathbed." And then he went on to say, "Well, you know, but I have lived a really good life, I think. I haven't done anybody any harm. I've always tried my best. And, well, at the end of the day, you know, I think I'll go up there." I looked at him and I said, "That's a bit contradictory. How on the one hand can you be an atheist and you don't believe in God, but then at the end of the day, when you die, you expect to go to heaven?" I said, "The thing's a complete nonsense." The young lad thought he was right, when in effect he was wrong. The second young man that I met and arranged to meet him, he was, I think sometimes it's described, he was where he was at His Majesty's pleasure. He was in jail. And when I went in to see him, we chatted together and he was telling me about how much he had read the Bible over the past number of months that he'd been in jail, and how that when he got out, that he wanted his life to be turned around completely, and that he already had taken significant steps for that to happen, which led me to believe that he was very clearly sincere in what he was saying. He was a young man who, unlike the other, he got it wrong, but he wanted to make things right. The story of the Pharisee and the publican is a story of a man who thought he was right, but in effect he was wrong. And the story of a man who knew he was wrong and wanted to make things right. And the focus of this particular story that Jesus told was in the context of the temple. And before we go any further, it would be necessary to probably say that every religion that ever existed in the world, except for Christianity, points to the fact that man or woman can make themselves right with God as a consequence of their own human achievement. While Christianity exclusively points to the fact that it's not human achievement, but divine accomplishment revealed in Scripture that makes us right with God. In other words, the two views are salvation is either dependent on what I have done or a result of what God has done. And every religion takes the former, and Christianity focuses on the latter. And these two men who went up to the temple to pray represent two types of people within our society today. Now, with this background in mind, I want us to look very briefly at this particular parable. And the first thing I want you to notice is that there were two worshippers, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, Pharisees often got a bad press, but Pharisees weren't always all bad. They had some elements of good within them. Many of them were charitable. We read, as far as this man was concerned, that he fasted, that he prayed, that he gave a tithe of all that he had. And yet it's true to say that often their attitudes to other people, and particularly to Jesus, gave them a significantly bad press. One of their problems was that they added about 600 rules and regulations to the Ten Commandments, which they zealously wanted to keep, and they expected everybody else to keep these rules and regulations as they did themselves. And their rigid following and enforcement of these regulations made them proud and arrogant and self-righteous. They despised people who didn't follow these regulations as they did. And we see that they showed particular opposition to Jesus throughout his ministry, claiming that he was the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And in response to their attitude to Jesus, we know that Jesus at times had scathing things to say to them. On one occasion, he said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." He described them at times as wolves in sheep's clothing. And it was one of these men who took center stage in the parable that Jesus told. And then, well, what we could say of him was that he thought he was right, but in effect, he was wrong. The second person who went up to the temple was a publican or a tax collector. He was despised by all because of the manner and the lifestyle of his living. He would have extracted from the general public far more than he should have taken because of the job that he had, and he was able to line his pockets and build whatever house that he wanted as a consequence of his dishonest actions. He treated people as people who were just fodder in order that he could get more for himself. But we see that he was not like the Pharisee who, looking across at him, said, "I thank God that I am not as other men." The tax collector knew the sort of life that he lived and knew that he needed to change. And so we have these two people who had different views of themselves, the two men. And then there was the two prayers. Well, first of all, where did they pray? Well, they prayed in the temple. The Pharisee, we read, stood by himself, standing afar off. He had an audience, as it were, around him of only one. He was drenched in pride, in self-righteousness, in self-importance. And what did he pray? Well, he prayed about himself. And he was a person who, in his prayer, was self-contradictory. He involved in being self-congratulatory. He was self-complacent, and he was self-sufficient. He uses the word "I" five times in the short prayer that he prayed. "I thank God that I am not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give of a tithe, and I do this, that, and the other." And it was in complete contrast. And he was in complete contrast to a later Pharisee who became a follower of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. What did he say? He used the word "I" too. And he said, "I am crucified with Christ. It is not I, but Christ lives in me." And in contrast to this Pharisee, there was the publican. And what did the publican or the tax collector, what do we read about him? What did he say? We read that he stood afar off. His position was he wanted to acknowledge his state before God. His attitude was one of humility. He would not even look up to heaven, the Bible tells us. His repentance was reflected on the fact that he beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the publican in the temple might well have seen the evening sacrifices that were going on, where the blood of the lamb was being sacrificed at the temple, and he may have had some understanding of the implication of what this was all about. And of course, he knew that that would be at the very heart of the gospel. And just as he did, so we do need to come humbly to God, saying as he did, not in these words, but in the sentiment, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. We need to come with repentance and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And as we gather this morning, we stand, every one of us here, doesn't matter who we are, we stand in the shoes of one of these two people, the Pharisee or the publican. And what do we read about the Pharisee? The Pharisee, we see, left the temple. But the publican left the temple justified. Jesus said this, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, not the proud Pharisee, but the publican. And what does it mean to be justified? Those of you who have been Presbyterians for a long time, and maybe during the days when you came to Sunday school and you had to learn the Shorter Catechism, would have learned that justification is an act of God's free grace, whereby he pardons our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight. And as for the Pharisee, the prayer that he prayed reached no higher than the roof of the temple in which he was praying. At this stage, yes, one could argue that the work of Jesus Christ of dying on the cross had not yet occurred, but the salvation that the tax collector received was what we might call the Old Testament pre-cross conversion, where in Hebrews 11 we read that by faith, and faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we have all the catalogue of people who were saved, as it were, by faith. People like Noah and Abraham and David and Samuel and Deborah and Esther. And the publican at this stage joined the ranks of those who were in that particular category. But today, you and I live in the aftermath, as it were, of the cross, that our faith and our trust is placed on our relationship with what Jesus Christ has done for you and me on the cross. And when we respond as a sinner and acknowledge our dependence upon Jesus Christ, then, like the publican, the tax collector, we are justified. And we're justified, as Paul puts it, by grace. We are saved through faith. And what is not only justification, but what is the process after justification? The question the Catechism asks is, what is sanctification? Sanctification is something that we receive after justification. Justification is an act, it's a one-off thing, but sanctification is a process. In other words, the Catechism puts it, sanctification is a work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and we are enabled to die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. So once we get to that position where we recognize, as the Pharisee did, that we need to experience God's salvation, and once we are justified through our response to what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, then we need to step out on the roadway to sanctification. And what is sanctification? How does it work out in the everyday living? It means that we need to, as we've already said, die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. We need to live as those who are Christian people. So often there are Christians and they make a profession, but their practice is a contradiction rather than a complementation of what they say they believe. And we need to ask ourselves as Christians then, what is your relationship, and what do you see, do people see as your relationship with family and friends and work colleagues and people within the church? Is your lifestyle different from what it previously was because you're now justified and you're seeking to walk along the pathway of sanctification? You need to ask yourself, do I seek to serve God first and foremostly in my life? Do I seek to reach out to my family, to those around me with the gospel? Are we generous in our encouragement of others within the church and within the community? Are we generous with the resources that we have and we know that we should give as the Lord has prospered us for the advancement of his kingdom, both locally and globally? Are we prepared to give of our time in order to pray? All these things are a consequence, first of all, of justification leading to sanctification, which enables us to die more and more unto sin and live as the days go on more and more unto righteousness. The two people I met just before Christmas. The first boy thought he was right when he was wrong. The second boy acknowledged he was wrong and wanted to be right. In the story of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee thought he was right when in effect he was wrong, and the publican recognized he was wrong and took steps to make things to be right. As we gather in church this morning, in whose shoes will you walk out through those doors in a few minutes? Let us pray.